Reading from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Lila 1, text 92. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jai Advaita Chanda Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Krishna Prema Kande Prabhu Sachir Anandana Chatur Dikke Vede Kande Bhagavata Gan The son of Sachi cried out of love for Krishna, and all the devotees surrounding the Lord also cried loudly. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Taksu Mutmina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupakadam Hayam Tadati Sapadantikam Vansha kalpa trubhyascha kripa shindu baye bacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama, Rama, Hare Hare So greetings from Vrindavan. I think I have two more days here, and then I head to New Zealand and then Texas, and then I should be in New York by March 18th. Still being blessed with the audience of so many nice visitors here. Yesterday my niece came, my eldest brother's daughter, his eldest daughter, and it's just so wonderful to just see her just in one day, just, I don't know, if there's a way to do it, that people enter this place and they see the most beautiful place they've ever seen in the world, and you could miss it, you could really miss it. But there's just a way that people come humbly and come under guidance and then get the right perspective. Yeah, we walked out to that forest, and also really nice too, some of you may, of course, may know Vraja Kishore. Vraja Kishore is here in Vrindavan. I think I haven't seen him in over 10 years. So it's quite a wonderful reunion, and he was in such wonderful consciousness. Humble, humble soul. So appreciative. And, you know, the people that visit often can get more than the people who stay, because familiarity breeds contempt. And, you know, to keep the sacredness of this place, living here for a long time, it's really something to see. Vraja Kishore also, I took him and my niece to my favorite place, the forest of Vrindavan, and we sat with my Mali friend, and it's just that I've never seen a place or felt a place in this world as peaceful as that. And then they just started to make those Brijvasi rotis, and I haven't had a person yet who's tasted them and said they've tasted anything better in the whole world. And we went to Prem Kishore and the farm, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful experience. And then coming to see them all in my class. And you know, I really haven't. I'm probably going to wait till I get to America. I'm thinking of perhaps, I'm not sure, maybe the first camp in Bhagavatam again, but I haven't yet got into the transition because it's just been to the new tech so busy. So basically, I'm just lecturing on what I'm doing every day here, and I'm lecturing on the, right now is the first chapter, the Madhya Leela of the Chaitanya Bhagavat by Vrindavan Das Thakur. We settled on Jagadharma for Wednesday, so I'm not sure if with my schedule I can make it this Wednesday. It may start the next Wednesday after that. We haven't settled yet on Sunday, but I have been teaching Chaitanya Bhagavat. And when I come back to New York, it should be up soon. I'm going to give a series of lectures in the Bhakti Center on the roots of kirtan. We can talk a little bit about that today. Of course, it begins with this beautiful theological concept, that for God to be complete, he must have the experience of his devotee to the fullest extent. And therefore, there is an eternal pastime. It's not that there was a time that it wasn't existing, but still, it's a pastime that's eternally existing, which has a beginning and an end. And the pastime is God. Manifesting to get love of Godhead so he can experience what it is to love Godhead. And to obtain love of Godhead, it means you have to get it from one who has love of Godhead. The whole idea is God doesn't have it unless he has the ontological position as his own devotee, and that's Chaitanya. The Chaitanya, so his life is the search for devotion. And if you want a particular consciousness, you have to somehow enter the heart of one who has it by love and service. And that means to surrender to Guru and Krishna. Dami Buddhi Yogam Twam. I give. To one who worships me with faith and devotion, I give. And how does God give? He gives it through his representatives. So it comes from God, Goloka Prema, Don Haryam Sankirtan. But it comes through the devotees. And it comes to one who attracts it. It's like a magnet. If it's negative, it attracts a positive. So the heart, if it's negative, if it's empty of desires, it attracts pure love. It's this change of identity. So I'm a servant of God. That attracts the mercy of God. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu undergoes this great transformation, the full manifestation of divine consciousness that comes at the point of a commitment to be the servant of God. And that commitment is not just an intellectual commitment. It has to do with the ahankar, and it has to do with the identity. It's an embracing of an identity. And the example often given is a person gets married in Indian culture, and then the wife goes to the house of the husband. And she was the daughter of her father, and now she becomes the wife of her husband with marriage. The commitment is a change of identity. That's what the commitment is. So it's not something that's intellectually maintained. It's something that's psychologically maintained. And it just comes with that commitment. The desire to have that identity, the understanding of that identity, and the commitment of one to that identity. So that's bhakti in essence. That's bhakti in essence. And that's faith. Faith in the sublimity of that identity. And it's not as Prabhupada said, the process is simple, the application is difficult. We can just meditate on our lives. How are we moving? By the dictates of our ego for control, enjoyment, and egotistical satisfaction? Or by the dictates of our master and what they desire? Dictates of our identity as a servant of Guru and Krishna. Well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu surrendered to that conception, that identity, and therefore his heart became filled with love. Krishna is looking to fill one's heart for love when they give up the ego. Give up the false ego and adopt the real ego. He's looking to put love in that heart because that's how he enjoys. So that heart is this change of identity. So when that happens, there's a tremendous flow of love that enters into one's heart. What awakens one's relationship with Krishna. And to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was seeking to experience the love of Radha. So, which is the highest manifestation and most intense. So that awakens within his heart and he becomes completely transformed. Aviruddha Mahabhav. And then he returns home to Navadvip. And he is transformed by that commitment, which he has taken completely seriously. And his heart is filled with love of Godhead. And it's overwhelming because it's emotion, devotion. Even if we get angry, it covers our intellect. If we become infatuated, it covers our intellect. Tragedy overcomes our intellect. But this is the most powerful and consummate of the emotions, which is Bhakti Ras, which is manifest as Prema Bhakti. So Lord Chaitanya is really, it manifests as Prema Bhakti, but in the need of separation. Very interesting point in Brihat Bhagavatamrita that Danya, but utter humility, which is the prerequisite to Prema Bhakti, only manifests in Vraja. Because only in the fullest manifestation of separation can one feel that sense of worthlessness. When you have the greatest intimate relationship with Krishna and the full revelation of his personality, only in that mood can you really feel the depth of, in other words, the greater manifestation of God in our relationship, the more you're a recipient of God's mercy, which is the bestowance of his own heart on one, in infinite love, the more we will feel a lack of value, an absence of the object of our love. And that's what happens in Braj. And it creates the guided with utter humility. And in that utter humility, this mood of separation deepens. And Lord Chaitanya is basically overwhelmed by it. So when he comes home as a great devotee, where previously he was just kind of a teacher of logic and not a Bhava Bhakta, or didn't experience that way. So what he decides is that he decides to leave his intimate associates in confidence. He wants them to come to Shukla's house so he can reveal his heart. It's hard to read spiritual emotion
most of the time it would naturally be misunderstood, because it's something that easily can be imitated.
Therefore, there's something about deep sentiments that are not made for the public. They're only, when you want to reveal your heart and reveal your realizations, you reveal them only to the people that already have that deep trust in you. I know God brothers, a couple with very, very deep sentiments, very, very deep visions of Leela. And in confidence, they reveal it to me. Maybe one other person or two other persons maximum. Because others will not understand. And a cultured person is always very interested in communication. And therefore won't say or exhibit truth that will be misinterpreted and cause harm. When Lord Chaitanya met Ramananda Roy, who is Pishaka in Gaur Leela, there was such an ecstatic exchange of deep emotions. But when they saw that there were others looking on, even Brahmins who are Vipaksha, Vijitya, they didn't have the same mood and understanding. Of course, we'll meet later solitarily. We'll discuss these things. Because the purpose of disseminating, exhibiting truth is people understand truth and feel truth. And if you feel that by the exhibition of truth, that people don't have a frame of reference to understand it and misunderstand it, one won't display it. It's very natural. It's very natural that we want to communicate truth, have truth understood. So we will express that truth to people who either understand the truth, who have enough trust and faith in us to accept it as truth, and perhaps try to understand it. So Lord Chaitanya has these deep emotions. So he's experiencing this prema bhakti. But he's sincere. And he has faith. You have faith. And then after faith, there's often... faith also means clarity of mind. When you have faith, you see things, you understand things clearly. You understand truth clearly. That's real shraddha. And then there's vigor or determination to pursue that. So, Lord Chaitanya, now we're in the part of the story where he's going to, he's kind of asked the devotees to
meat. And he begins to become overcome with emotion, and he falls to the ground, and he's crying and crying and crying piteously.
And because the devotees love him, they feel the same thing, because that's the nature of love. Nature of love is your life becomes focused on the desires of the object of your love, and your happiness becomes their happiness becomes your happiness, and their distress becomes your distress. So that's the real definition of happiness. It's a happiness that's love. It's a happiness that's connected to the Lord's pleasure potency. So naturally, when the Lord is in the anguish of separation and is crying, and those who love him are crying. Just think of a loved one, a child. How much you love that person, and how much their happiness is your happiness, and how much their distress and pain is your pain, and how much purer that happiness is than the happiness that the real happiness is initiated by my own pleasure, and real distress is initiated by my own distress, and that's what we're focused on. It's a pleasure, but it doesn't have that beauty, that softness, that energy of love. So the devotees naturally cry piteously to see Lord Chaitanya in such a condition of separation from Krishna. Again and again, the Lord fell to the ground with great force. But due to ecstatic love, he could not feel anything. Pain and pleasure is a mental conception. For people who are absorbed in the body, feel the pains and the pleasures of the body more. And those who are detached from the body or absorbed in other emotions, then these things are not felt. I have friends I know that are in constant pain, very painful, chronic conditions. Painful. But it does not affect their bhajan. Because for one thing, they're not experiencing their mind, they're experiencing their soul. And once you unlock the energy of the soul, it's not dependent on the mind and the body. But also because the nature of the mind as it feels what it's absorbed in, and if it's distracted by something else, it doesn't experience the sense impressions. The mind doesn't necessarily experience the sense impressions of an object that it's not focused on. So they're so focused on love and Godhead that he's not actually feeling this pain. The sounds of chanting and crying in ecstatic love combined to fill the house of Shukumbhar with love of Godhead. After some time, Vishwambhar became pacified and sat down, yet the current of ecstatic love continued to flow.
The Lord then inquired, who is inside the room? Shukran Bar replied, your Gadadhar is inside. Gadadhar bent his head down and cried. Seeing this, Lord Vishnu Bar became greatly satisfied. So this is his best friend, and naturally he's very happy to see him. The Lord said, O Gadadhar, you are indeed most fortunate. From your childhood you have firmly fixed your mind on Krishna. I have passed my time in useless endeavors, although I obtained the priceless treasure by the arrangement of providence. I have lost it. One second.
Come in.
Come on in. Speaking to me.
Yeah.
You just got that. You're talking to my boss. That's good. So we got to move on to that. Wow.
Okay. Well, put it here. Okay.
Okay. I'm kind of doing it now,
but it's. Well, I'll do it myself now. Okay. Good day. Great day. Okay. 10 o'clock tomorrow we meet, right?
Okay.
Okay, here we go. That was Raja Kishore. So nice to see him. Okay. Are there any questions on anything? Before I begin,
nice to hear that you are talking to Brother Krishna, and it reminds me of the old days. Okay, Maharaj, I have questions, but before. I would like to, really, really, really from my heart, thank you for taking so long time, keeping up it, you have really, Bhagavad Gita said it, that's the last week I told, Devashaitmika Buddhi, so me and Savitri, we really, really thank you, and also we invite you, I know you will be coming to Washington, D.C., and if you kindly step a little bit outside, we are Richmond, so it's not far to visit.
Okay, let me see my schedule. Do you have a question?
Question, yes. Question is, in the beginning of the lecture, you mentioned that, when, one's heart is completely desireless, then only the love of God comes. But, by nature, heart is always some desire is there. How one can empty out to get the love of God, that looks like nirvana.
I should clarify that actually, bhakti does not wait. Moksha waits. Bhakti does not wait till the heart is cleared of desires. It says nashta preeshu abhadreshu. When it says almost destroyed to nil, then one becomes fixed in devotional service. So bhakti doesn't wait for that. But at the same time, what is it? You can't start a fire and pour water on it at the same time.
Yeah.
So there has to be a there has to be a natural humility. Even if one is not perfect, there has to be a natural humility. There has to be something that's attracting. the positive of God. And that has to be one's natural humility. And some kind of shift in consciousness. But you're right. You're not completely free of desires, and the desire is changed. The concept is changed. Just from I want to be pleased to I want to please. So it's just a desire born of a spiritual desire rather than a desire born of ego. And that's really what spiritual life is. Spiritual life is entering into a sacred space of the soul. Where this feeling and desires of selflessness and service come. And it's a completely different space and conception than the ego, which we feel in terms of the mind. All the desires that come in terms of calculation, in terms of fear, in terms of retribution, of anxiety, it's born of a different space and it has a different quality. The quality of giving and the quality of wanting to receive, the quality of being selfish, the quality of being selfless, quality of love, the quality of hate. It's such a different consciousness. So obviously, it's not just eradicating desires, it's changing where those desires come from. They come from the platform of love, or they come from the platform of hate. They come from the platform of service, or they come from the platform of control. So when we mean the negative, we mean the freedom from the egotistical conception of life, where one is trying to make oneself the center rather than to serve the center. When one is trying to see everything as the object for their desires rather than seeing themselves as the object for God. So words have their limited application. But negative means to free yourself from that type of consciousness. It doesn't mean that there's no desires, but they're coming from a completely different platform. What is your next question?
The next question is, Maharaj, I'm sure you know you have participated yesterday at Nityananda Trayodashi. And you know, because we are carrying the message of Nityananda Mahaprabhu, that Nadiya Godrume, Nityananda Mahajan, Patiya Channam Hotta, Jivi Rokar, Sottavan, Sottavan Janae, Sottavan. That means in the lecture you mentioned, you have to have the faith, you know, that you know, holy name is Krishna and holy name is none other than you know, Krishna himself. If in that case, you know, and also you mentioned the love of Godhead, Krishna does not give. Only person who has love of Godhead, he can give. So how do we know that who has the love of Godhead, you know, who can we look for?
I didn't understand your question. What is your question?
You mentioned that in the love of Godhead, Lord cannot give love of Godhead because he doesn't have. But person you know, who has love of Godhead, he can give the love of Godhead.
Yeah.
So, okay. In this case, you know, so how to know that, you know, who has the love of Godhead that, you know, we should get from it?
Okay. Well, it says that just as when eating, three things happen simultaneously, bhakti, parishanu, bhavavaratya, that one becomes free from the pain of hunger, one becomes satisfied, and one gets pleasure. So
devotion and consummate renunciation, not from objects, but from ego and possessiveness, they move simultaneously. So one who has devotion, but he's absorbed in the world in terms of that consciousness, not just that he's engaged with the world, then that is Sahajism. We have devotion, but the renunciation is not commensurate with it. Or if someone has tremendous renunciation but very, very little devotion, their devotion is not commensurate with their renunciation, then that has tinges of gyan or impersonalism. So you're saying, how do you know who has love of Godhead? Well, it's certainly not just by the tears that come from their eyes, or they're rolling on the ground, because those symptoms can be imitated. But Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that there are symptoms of bhava, or real devotion. And the first one is Adhyakta Kali Vam. Every minute they're engaged in devotional service, and Viraktir, they become dispassionate. They become not only aloof from the objects of the senses, but no internal desire for them. And they're perseverant, and they're attached to the holy name, and they only talk about Krishna. So, you know, those are the symptoms. When one has love, it becomes expressed, and that's called kirtan. Without the love, there's no kirtan. When you have bhava and you express it, that's kirtan. So, the symptom of love of Godhead is kirtan, that one is always chanting and hearing about Krishna. That's the symptom. And they're always serving, and they're always engaged. And those symptoms become self-effulgent. Any other questions?
Oh, thank you, Maharaj, and I appreciate it enough. And I'm looking forward to sending you an email, Maharaj.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? Or ask a question?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Hi, Gail.
Yeah, I just wanted to express my my appreciation for your answer to Nandalal's second question. You know, I just appreciated the clarity that you gave for that balance, you know, and looking for somebody who has love for God, that balance between renunciation and external expressions of bhakti, you know.
Okay.
How, you know, if you only look at the external, then you might be looking at a sahaja. If you're only looking at the renunciation, then you might be looking at somebody who just has gyan. So I just appreciated that, the explanation of that balance that you need to see in somebody who has real bhakti, you know.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello or ask a question? Okay, well, I guess we'll end a little early today. I find it a little difficult to give classes here at night the world like closes down a little bit earlier here, and just a different schedule. But very soon, what's that?
So I could hear it in your voice.
Yeah, but next class, I'm actually, I'll be in New Zealand. Okay, and we'll start up another book. Okay, I vote. Why don't you come for 3 seconds?